India needs a lot of electricity, but from where exactly?
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. India's highest court today gave the go-ahead for what will be that country's biggest nuclear power plant. Nuclear power is controversial, but one of the judges in the case said the Russian-built plant in South India is, quote, necessary for the welfare and economic growth of India. The BBC's Yogita Lamai is in Mumbai. Yogita, what's the push behind this?
Well, India has been facing a massive power shortfall. Lots of factories and industries around the country have to suffer power outages and therefore have to stop production for a period of time. Most of India's power generation is currently from coal-based sources, and the country imports most of that coal. So to increase those sources of generation means, again, once again, increasing, well, budgets. And that's why nuclear energy has been thought of as another option.
Nuclear power beats, for instance, coal when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions, but India and the world followed the Japanese nuclear disaster a couple of years ago. What are opponents saying here?
Well, that is exactly it, actually. It's environmental safety and conditions that people are really worried about. But another thing that they're quite concerned about is that the water that's used to cool the nuclear fuel is let out into the sea. And many of these areas around the coast, they depend on fishing for their livelihoods. So fishermen are bitterly opposed to this project because they say that any raise in temperature of the waters would mean that that would directly impact their livelihood.
So the High Court approval today, but it's my understanding what? That the plant is mostly built and could come online soon?
Yes, in fact, the Prime Minister met the Russian President some time ago and he said that it would be operational in weeks. And many are expecting the first reactor to actually start generation this month itself. So it has been completely constructed. There were delays in the middle owing to protests. A lot of fishermen, for example, just a few months ago, we saw these great scenes of a lot of fishermen going into the sea and forming a human chain. So a lot has been delayed because of the protests, but we are expecting that it might start production this month.
The BBC's Yogita Lamai in Mumbai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I believe the phrase is, let's do the numbers. First Monday in May is a holiday for markets in London, but the Shanghai Composite Index closed up 1.2%. For a hint about Wall Street later on, S&P futures are currently up just slightly. Ah, good times. Remember the flash crash that day in May when one enormous futures trade triggered a terrifying stock market sell-off, sending the Dow down about 5% in minutes? Automated trading got a lot of the blame there. Exactly 2 years later, is the stock market safer? Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
While some blame automated trading systems for the flash crash, technology is also behind the solution. If a company's share price drops below 10% in a few minutes, trading in the stock is automatically limited.
These mechanisms will either stop trading or make sure that trading doesn't fall outside of a narrowly defined range, so the market can always be at a rational place.
Bill O'Brien is CEO of Direct Edge, the nation's third largest stock exchange.
And that's really one of the benefits of technology in the marketplace is you can make these corrections much more quickly had you had to enforce them manually.
But MIT professor Andrei Kirilenko doesn't agree.
I think the markets are probably no safer now than they were then.
Kirilenko says regulators need to catch up with the technology. Instead of regulating human traders, he says we should begin to regulate the software behind the trades. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
New proof of the American genius for packaging. Budweiser is coming out with a new can today. It's in the shape of a bow tie, the motif of the Bud logo since 1956. Marketplace's Queen of Kim reports.
It's the same height as a regular beer can, and it sounds like one, too. And it tastes like a regular Bud. But good luck trying to crush it after you're done. I didn't have any luck, and so I enlisted my office mate, Matthew. How tall are you?
I'm about 5'11".
And how much do you weigh?
About 165.
All right, so you're a lot bigger than me. Let's see if you can crush this. No luck. It just slips out from his foot and spins off.
Surprising. I've done that quite often, and I think I actually injured my foot.
A lot of people, what they most notice is how strong the can is.
Pat Magali is a vice president of innovation at Budweiser. He says to bring in the waistline of the can so that it looks like a bow tie, they had to use stronger aluminum.
So that it would maintain its shape.
It takes the shaping machine 16 steps to give the new can its 10-degree angle. And Bud's been working on the can for several years.
These aren't small feats. We did spend significant dollars in our can plant and in our breweries and in the cost of the aluminum.
So the can's pretty cool, but what's the point if the beer tastes the same?
It drives a lot of excitement.
And buzz. And Bud could use both right now. Eric Shepard is executive editor at Beer Marketers Insight.
The Budweiser brand has been very weak in the United States.
It's not just Bud. Sales of beer makers like Miller and Coors have been slipping in recent years. The recession didn't help, and there's another problem, the rising popularity of wine and spirits. Shepard says big beer makers are loath to change the taste of the beer, because that's really risky.
So then what do? You change the marketing and or you change packaging.
In recent years, Coors introduced a can that turns blue when it's cold, and Miller put out a punch-top can that makes the beer easier to chug. Gary Hemphill is with the Beverage Marketing Corporation. He says the new can will probably give Bud a bump in sales.
The question beyond that is it a lasting increase?
Or just another novelty that'll eventually wear off. In San Francisco, I'm Queen Akim for Marketplace.
And a Texas law school student says he successfully fired a gun over the weekend that was made using a 3D printer. Cody Wilson wants to circulate plans for this plastic handgun on the internet to make a point about what he sees as the futility of government regulation. Regulators say it's legal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.